This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Live Your Spa Life Show. Spa Life is where accomplishment and harmony coexist. Now, here's your host and Spa Life curator, Diane Halfman.
Hello, and welcome to the next episode of the Live Your Spa Life Show. Spa Life is a lifestyle that accepts that accomplishment and harmony can coexist. I am so excited to introduce to you our guest for today, which is Carrie Ann Rockmore. She is a PhD and founder of the National Center for Faculty Development and Diversity. She launched the NCFDD in 2010 after quitting her job as a tenured professor. Fed up with campus politics and fighting the old boys club, she created a training company to help women and minority professors navigate the brutal publish or perish world of academia. The NCFDD is a rapidly growing business serving over 87,000 professors in more than 450 colleges and universities in the U.S. Carrie Ann, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I know that, you know, we have so many of our listeners that are trying to have that balance and do really big impact in the world. So wanted to jump in and ask you, what was it like for you being a trailblazer to change the culture of your campus?
Not easy.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, I mean, colleges and universities tend to be incredibly change-resistant institutions. You know, they're places where things are done the way they've always been done. And so my experience was, first and foremost, things that I saw that were a problem weren't necessarily problematic for other people. And so having to do a lot of work to really point out what problems exist isn't exactly natural to my personality. You know, in order to solve problems, you have to get consensus built that a problem exists. And so, you know, when you're having to do certain types of work that aren't really natural to who you are, it can be incredibly draining. And, you know, for the, I think many years of my career, I just let myself be drained and not really understanding that when you get empty, you don't have anything left to give, right? And so I think in many ways, even though I had a really strong heart for helping other people, it took me quite some time to be able to build the skills of consensus building, organizing, really leading a group of people to try to make change, and to really be able to organize my life in such a way that I didn't get completely exhausted doing that.
You know, I completely understand that. I mean, as you know, I was a San Diego police officer for many years, and I was the only woman on the squad for a lot of times too. So I know, you know, particularly for that culture, just to be able to make sometimes simple changes, pushing up against that this is the way it always is, that in itself can be very draining. So I applaud you for stepping into that, because it's not easy. And I know that sometimes people, when they're branching out into doing something new and different, I'm sure there's a lot of days where you're like, why am I doing this again? Yeah. So how did you create more of that spa life? Because, you know, when we talk about having, you know, accomplishment, but doing it with harmony and really enjoying the journey versus resenting it and having that continual draining, which can take a toll on your health and relationships and all of that totality of your life. So what were some of the things that you did to create some of that balance for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always two pieces, right? There's sort of the mindset piece, and then there's the actual practices. And for me, probably the most important one was the mindset piece, really recognizing that I am most effective in the world when I'm healthy. And that it's not selfish to take care of myself. It's not selfish to rest. It's not selfish to take breaks, and that I deserve those things, and I deserve them, and I need them in order to really be the most effective me in the world. And, you know, I can say that today and it sounds pretty straightforward, but I can certainly remember a time when I thought it was selfish to sleep 8 hours a night. To go to the gym, and I thought it was selfish to sleep in for a day or get a massage or even do something as simple as hire somebody to clean my house, right? Like right. I really genuinely thought all those kinds of self-care things were selfish. And, you know, again, I think sometimes we, out of a sense of not good enough or not deserving, can talk ourselves into this story that we have to be superwoman or that we have to just give, give, give. And, you know, I think that takes some really intentional energy to shift, right? And once, you know, I think people jump right into all the practices. Like people are always asking me like, oh, let me see your calendar. How do you do this? How do you organize that? That stuff is important, but none of it really works in a lasting, sustainable way unless you've done a little bit of deeper work, right? Unless you can really allow yourself to give yourself the kind of gifts you need in order for those practices to work. So yes, I do all kinds of basic practices, right? I have lots of people who support me, support my household, support my business. I certainly have built-in times during the week for various types of activities, whether it's date night with my husband or whether it's exercise or whether it's literally getting those 8 hours of sleep. I plan my year, I plan my quarter, I plan my week. And I plan make sure that everything that is important to my health and well-being, as well as my success, in fact, is right there in my calendar.
Right. Well, you know, I completely agree with this. I mean, this is the whole thing we talk about here with Spa Life, about it being foundational and that, you know, having those self-care practices and rituals, you know, that it's not a luxury, it's a necessity, you know, in order to do the bigger things that you're doing. And I know for our listeners that there's some recognition here of that push-pull of, I want to take care of myself, but I got to do that one more thing, or, you know, I'm needed to do this. And all, like you said, the self-talk and the things that happen from a mindset perspective that have women keep themselves, you know, exhausted and moving forward. How is it that you, you know, because I can already hear some of our listeners going, well, that sounds good that you cracked the code on that. What were some of the things that happened or shifted for you to go from that not taking care of yourself as much to really moving into that, to make that a priority? What kind of shifts did you make to get there?
Yeah, I mean, I think the beginning shifts happened after breakdown, right? You know, I welcome breakdowns because as one of my mentors always says, there's, you know, the breakdown precedes the breakthrough. So, you know, I think early on for me, they were things like experiencing stress-related illness. They were things like my hair coming out by the handful. They were things like I couldn't sleep through the night because I would wake up every night like, oh my gosh, I forgot to do this. I forgot to do that. They were things like I forgot my husband's birthday twice. You know what I'm saying? Things that, you know, just are really profound signs that you're doing too much. Right. And it was many years ago, but it just hurts my heart to think that I forgot my husband's birthday, not just once, but twice.
Right.
You know, it's a really powerful symbol that there's just too much going on. And so early on, it took really things to get so bad they had to change before I would be willing to change. And then I think over time, one of the biggest shifts was putting myself in community with other women who do not think it's selfish to take care of themselves. Really seeing other women who maybe were a little older than me or a little more advanced in their career, but really seeing the ways that they took care of themselves, seeing the ways that they took time out every quarter to really rest and rejuvenate, seeing how they, you know, really organize their team to make sure they weren't over-functioning in their business. And to me, sometimes those positive role models, really seeing other people thriving and seeing how they do it, it was different because when you have a breakdown, it pushes you to make change. But when you see people doing things that are awesome, it kind of pulls you towards wanting to, you know, really make your own growth happen.
Right. You know, I love seeing the spectrum of that, because one of the things that comes up for me is that, you know, one of my mentors always talked about that there was the three D's that really push change. And a lot of times it's divorce, disease, or death. And when it comes to those dramatic kind of things that happen in your life, it pushes you to have to make those shifts and changes. And, you know, it's like we hope to, particularly with like this show and having these kind of conversations, is to have people look at things that happened before that breakdown. I mean, sometimes, you know, you've experienced that. I've experienced that right before I left the police department. I was on the verge of adrenal fatigue. I mean, you know, these pushing things that happen, we know these stories that have happened, and hopefully having these kind of conversations and having the awareness around it will have people look at their life before, you know, it hits some of those levels that affects you and relationships and health and all of those things that happen. And then, you know, we've all heard about, you know, we become the five people that we spend the most time with, and surrounding ourselves with people and actually being able to see that it is possible and there are positive ways to be able to craft and do things is so important, to have those people in our space to be the reflection and be able to look at things. And I've said this several times, it's come up a lot. One of the things that Les Brown says is that, you know, you can't see the big picture when you're in the frame. So to have other people be part of that reflection and to see the things that you're not seeing or that are not working is so helpful to be in community. So I'm happy that you've brought that to your life.
Yeah, that makes it real to me. Like when I see other women thriving, it just makes it real for me. And, you know, I think once I got over my shyness or my hesitation of asking people, what are you doing? You look great. What are you doing? Wow, right. You really like fit and refreshed. And wow, the last time I saw you were really sad and you seem really energized. What's new? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think sometimes we have this tendency to see people and we put them up on a pedestal and we think, oh, they're perfect and I'm a hot mess, right? And the reality is, for most people I admire and that I consider a role model, they'd be the first person to tell you that, you know, their growth happens over time and they're constantly changing, they're constantly evolving, and right, they're constantly looking for ways to improve.
Right. You know, that's so helpful to pinpoint, because it is easy to point to someone and not know their full story and make it seem like it's perfect and seamless for them and they can do it. And, you know, this comparison that can happen. And so it's so important to see the real true journey that people are experiencing and what they're going through, and to learn from that and to have that experience. So I know that some of, you know, not only myself, but our listeners are wondering, what are some of the tips that you've heard from people that they are doing that you kind of said, oh, that's an amazing tip? Like, were there like a couple things that you're like, okay, I'm going to incorporate that?
Yeah, I would say the first one I mentioned already, but it is really important, which is that date night.
Okay.
And you have to leave the house, and it should be like planned, romantic. There's absolutely no work talk, no work talk allowed. That actually it's just huge. I've been married for 22 years and we've certainly had our ups and downs, but really having that cushion during the week just really matters enormously to us staying connected. And we both love our work, right? So it's natural to have a tendency to want to talk about work and right, we just have this walled off time, no work.
Yeah, wow. Especially if you've got a lot of things happening in your work, you know, to not have that on the table. I mean, sometimes I know Carrie and I do this because there's so much about our work and our life, to have an evening without that conversation is something that you have to be very intentional about.
Yes. And I think it's kind of meta to all of this, but literally just making sure, it's so simple, but it's so profound, which is making sure that all of the things that I need to maintain my health are literally in my calendar. And whether it's something as simple as taking a walk at lunch and bracketing out space for lunch, whether it's putting in time for exercise, whether it's putting in that date night, you know, I think the mistake that people make is they just put in their calendar kind of appointments they have, right?
Yes.
I put all the tasks I have to do into my calendar every week. And every single week, the reality is that everything I think I need to do doesn't fit. And it's a wonderful practice to actually have to put the tasks into the calendar, because it just makes the point visual that I'm always going to have more tasks than time. And when the things don't fit, it gives me an opportunity at the beginning of the week, not the end, at the beginning of the week, to make some intentional choices about the things that don't fit, right? So if things don't fit, I have lots of choices. I can delegate them. I can let them go. I can lower my standards so they can get done more quickly. I can renegotiate a deadline. There's all kinds of things that I can do. But I personally need to be reminded that I'm never going to get caught up. I'm never going to get my to-do list done. It's not happening. Just breathing into that every week, just reminding myself, it's okay. I'm always going to have more tasks than time. And my job is to choose, what are the most important things, and to get really clear about when they're going to happen. And, you know, I think for most people, at least for me earlier in my life, work was like 90% of my life, and then the rest of my life had to fit in the 10%. And now when I prioritize what I need to do each week, work is one slice of the pie and it's one slice of my life. But I know that my health is the most important thing.
Right. Well, I love this distinction. You know, I'm always talking about the calendar, and I look at the calendar as being your mind in action, and your calendar is actually a reflection of your life. Like, this is the life you're living of what's in that calendar. And so if you look at it and there's a lot of like have to's and things that aren't inspiring you, that's when you really have to make those choices. And I love how you're looking at that at the beginning and being proactive about that versus just kind of letting it happen. And that's where we kind of talk about a lot of people live their life by default. Like, they just kind of have that happen and they just think that they're just going to cram one more thing in. But I love that you're being intentional and that you're, you know, really being strategic and designing your life. What are some of the other things that you are doing? I know that you do some annual planning, and, you know, I love how you're being intentional about what goes in there. I did some training. I don't know if you've heard of like the Ultimate Game of Life, but it looks about creating your life on what makes you happy first, then healthy, then wealthy, and putting things in your calendar based on that first so that you have the priorities of what your life looks like. And Carrie and I look at, you know, every year, I guess I should make the distinction, you know, Carrie, my boyfriend, and Carrie Ann, you, where we, all these wonderful Carries in my life, to be able to look at, you know, when are we going to spend time together and really getting it on the calendar. And so we like to make sure that, you know, in each quarter, we either have a staycation or we go away for a weekend, or, you know, when are we going to take our big trip? And we put those things in first, and then everything else works around that. So I'm curious to see, I know you do some annual planning with your husband. How do you approach that?
Yeah. So we kind of take a trip every December. We go to Mexico, and we actually spend a couple weeks sitting on the beach and planning our next year. You know, we take stock of the previous year. We get really explicit about what worked and what didn't work. And then we spend a little time kind of envisioning what we really want and what we really desire for our whole life, right? So we certainly think about what professional success would look like for us, but we also just think about like, what is the next level of health look like for us? What does, you know, continued growth look like for us in, you know, intellectual growth, emotional growth, creativity? We look at things like our relationships, not just our relationship with each other, but what do we really want in our relationship with our extended family, with our community, with our friends? We just take a look at all the areas of our life and we start articulating like, what would the most awesome thing ever look like? We try to create this visual of that, and then we plan based on that. It doesn't mean that all of that's going to happen, you know, in the next year. But how do we start moving forward to this vision of what we want? And you know, I think the reality is lots of people sometimes on Facebook will say, oh my gosh, you have this awesome life. You're traveling here, you're traveling there. Travel is something that's important to us because it's part of how we grow and it's part of how we rejuvenate. And we plan that shit, right?
I hear you. We get the same feedback.
A year ago.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's really important to highlight this because I think, you know, when people think of planning for the next year and you know, visioning, they maybe spend 15 minutes, right? I mean, I'm even inspired. I mean, we spend usually like, you know, a weekend. It's kind of, you know, maybe I think we've done like 4 days or something. But the fact that you take 2 weeks, that you're really carving that time out to do this, you know, review and to look at what you're looking forward and to vision and to really put the energy into what doesn't work, what works, what do we want to let go of, what do we want more of? I mean, really to sit with that. And I think that isn't just a one and done. I think it's something that you have to have those conversations and to be in a place that's outside your environment is really big because, you know, you see things in a different way when you're outside your regular environment. And to really carve that time out is, that's impressive to take that amount of time to be that intentional about your life. I love this.
And, you know, it's tough because sometimes that was the only vacation we had, right? Before we were entrepreneurs. But even still, it's tough sometimes to get away for that long, especially over the holidays. But I cannot tell you, things really unfold over the length of that process. When I let myself really sit with and be honest about the past year and get in conversation about what worked and didn't work, and give myself the space to be really clear about what I want in all these different areas, it starts to become clear what things need to happen in order to make that real. And sometimes it's just a mindset shift. Sometimes it's some things that need to be planned out and worked towards over many years. But it's having that clarity and really, you know, for us, it's we do it at Christmas, and this is the gift that we give each other for Christmas.
I like it.
Present with each other in that space.
Yeah, I really love that. You know, we like to do that too. We like to give experiences for gifts. In fact, Carrie came up with there's this deck of cards, you know, 52 cards of experiences, like, you know, either travel or dates or connections. And so we each pick three of them out of the deck and then that we would like to do. And then we give them to the other person. Then they get to pick one and put it in our card for Christmas. So it's just fun, you know, to be able to have these experiences together and to do that. So I like that. So, you know, I know one of the things when you're looking at your calendar and you're looking at what's got to go and making some decision of delegating, I mean, I think it makes it a little bit easier to say, okay, I'm uniquely qualified to do this. This is, you know, my lane, what I'm doing, and this can completely go off the calendar. I don't need that. I think some of the things that people would like to have some clarity around is those things in the middle, those things that you need to get done, but you don't want to do it and delegating it. How is that transition for you from, you know, going from that place where a lot of people will say, well, it's easier if I do it myself, or I can do it better. And, you know, not that you can relate to any of that, right? You know, how do you move from asking for help and, you know, deciding, you know, to have somebody in your space to help with that on a more regular basis? How do you transition from being everything to delegating?
Well, you hit the nail on the head because my story is always, I can do it faster myself. It's going to take longer to explain it to somebody than to do it myself. So, you know, it took a different story when I was a professor than the story I have as an entrepreneur in order to make the shift. So when I was a professor, most of the people supporting me were students, right? And so I had to remind myself that if I do it, I am robbing them of the learning experience and them figuring out how to do it themselves. And as an entrepreneur, it's somebody's job, right? It's kind of easier for me to remind myself, oh, I'm paying this person a full-time salary and benefits to do their job. So I need to allow them to do what they're here to do. And I think the other piece of it is underneath I can do it faster, it's going to take me longer to explain it to someone, is often a need for control, right? And so I think the other real growth edge for me has been letting go of the need to control every single thing that happens in my business and that happens in my life. And to be okay with the fact that other people not only can do things, they're probably going to do it different. And a lot of times they do it better.
So, yay.
I really allow myself to savor the moments when people exceed my expectations, when people do something totally different than I would do it, and it turns out better, because quite frankly, that is what happens most of the time. But right. I think we often don't articulate that the reason we're holding on to things so tightly is because we want to control them.
Right. And
what happens to me when I allow a release of that control?
Right. And that's part of the own personal growth, right? As that expands and having that happen. You know, the other side of that coin in terms of getting more support, not just the delegating itself, but bringing on team and having people support you. You know, I know that some of the stories that come up, and I'd love for you to address whether you feel that this is more mindset or, you know, a shifted way of looking things of, you know, a lot of people go, well, I'll get team as soon as I can afford it. Or, you know, there's that finding out that timing and what does that look like? So talk a little bit about the story that people, it's almost like a loop that people have. It's like, I need help, but I can't afford help. And, you know, but I need to do help in order to grow. And that story, that inner loop that happens for entrepreneurs.
Yeah, I think it's really common, right? And I think the tough part about it is that, at least for me, was that I was afraid to take on the responsibility for somebody else's livelihood. Right? So I don't want to take a risk to hire somebody and then I'm responsible for their mortgage and their kids and their this and their that. And the reality is I just couldn't do it all myself. And I think what for me, the big shift happened when I realized I can never get bigger than I am right now if I don't create a team of people to support me. And the reality is if you run the type of business that's about helping other people, you can't allow yourself to be compartmentalized and small because that's actually cheating the people who need your help.
So, good point.
You know, if you want to start a business, like the question is like, how big are you willing to be? How big are you willing for it to grow? And in order for growth to occur, guess what? It requires people to support you. And more importantly, it requires taking a risk, right? The first time I actually had a really high functioning person support me, it became so immediately obvious what more was possible. It became so, you know, somebody who really adds value day one immediately starts taking things, aggressively taking them off your plate. And, you know, the right person in supportive roles, super high functioning, taking on responsibility, hungry to support you, it doesn't take very long for you to realize how much more what you're doing can expand because of that type of support. So yes, there is absolutely some risk involved. But if you're an entrepreneur, there's risk involved.
Right. Just pick your poison, right?
And you acclimate to it, right?
Yeah.
Every time I take a risk, every time I put my big girl panties on, it's really scary at first. And then I get used to that load. I get used to that responsibility. I just acclimate. And things that terrified me, even just a few years ago, they're just normal for me now. I don't lose sleep over them. They're just part of life.
Right. So it's that scalability, right? I mean, once you hit a certain point and it's like, now you're up to here and then you're stretching and, you know, it's like catching up with that mindset.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. So I know that your work is now at a national level. And, you know, tell us a little bit about your personal satisfaction, about really lifting skilled professors to, you know, reach the deservability of tenured positions on such a repeated basis over and over again. What's that been like for you?
Pretty awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, I really created the business as something that I so desperately needed, but did not exist. And so as I was creating it, I was thinking about all the mentoring that I needed and didn't get, all of the support and community and really direct instruction on the kinds of things that I needed to be successful. All I wanted was to have those tools and to have a supportive community. And so to be able to create that for other people is pretty awesome, but it also is really healing a part of myself, right? To be able to give people what you didn't have, to be able to see people really utilize something that you only dreamed of, and to see them being successful doing it, it feels great. It feels great to give people that support, but I feel like I've really been healed myself in the process.
Oh, that is so beautiful. I love that. Just congratulations again on all of your success around that and just your ripple effect that you've had for people in the world. I can see how that would be so heartwarming and satisfying to have that in your space. So speaking of space, one of the questions that I always like to ask my guests is that, you know, what we create, our environment has, you know, an impact to how we feel. And we would feel different in like our bedroom versus our office versus our kitchen. And so what is your favorite room in your home and why?
Oh, well, my favorite room is in my regular house I live in. I live in Detroit most of the year, and I spend a few months here in sunny LA in the winter. But at my home base, my favorite room is, oh, it's a tie. I love my kitchen because I have a really big kitchen that has like a living room in it.
How fun.
I love that everybody gathers there. I don't actually cook, but food seems to emerge. I love it because of the warmth of the space and the openness, and that it really connects everyone. But I also love my office because I love to read and all my books are in my office. And I feel so comforted when I have a big stack of books and I can really kind of pull anything that I like. So it's hard to say. It's a tie between my kitchen and my office. But here in LA, I live in somebody else's house in an Airbnb. And my favorite space, I'm in the hallway. This is like the hallway when you walk in the house.
That's an awesome hallway.
Yes, it's like all glass and sunny, and there's like bamboo and shit. It's really just comfortable. And I spend most of my workday kind of posted up here in the hallway, which is a little weird, but
create your space, girlfriend.
Doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's
it works.
It works, yeah.
Oh, that's fun. I love that. Well, and that's why I love talking about space, because you react different in a space and you have different experiences in space. And so, you know, it makes sense to have different things that I've had a couple recent guests that talked about their patio in their backyard, because they got to get outside and spent some time outdoors with that. So it's kind of interesting, just the different answers and takes that people have around their space. So it's a fun conversation to have. So perfect.
Because I'm not a super outdoor person, which is why I think I love this hallway, because I can see the outside, but not be in it or have to deal with bugs.
I hear you on that. You know, Carrie likes to ski and go outside. I go, you know, I'm really good with big glass. I like to see the snow outside. I just don't want to experience it.
Yes.
It's pretty.
Explore a little growth in that area.
Yeah, you know, well, we can work on that together, right? Too fun. Oh, perfect. Well, I know that our listeners are going to want to stay connected with you and your work and what you're up to. How can they do that?
The best way center the URL is www.facultydiversity.org. And if you just click on our about page, you can always see my contact info.
Perfect. Any final thoughts for the audience?
Yeah, I think my final thought is no matter where you are, it's perfectly fine. And even if you're hearing people talk about balance in their life or space in their life or slowing down, and it's not where you are, it's totally okay, because the only thing that matters is for you to get clear on what you want. And what you want is probably totally different than what other people want. But as long as you know what it is and you just start making those little steps towards it, that's what moves you forward. It's not typically a big giant leap. It's clarity and little steps.
Oh, thank you. That is so perfect. And, you know, for our listeners who are jumping in and, you know, hearing this conversation around spa life and wondering, you know, what is that? How do I get that? I mean, it's exactly the conversation we've been having here about those small steps to get you there. There's a lot of different environments that you want to look at, that we don't want to look at just our work life or just our relationships. It's that totality that we're creating as the lifestyle that we want to have. And if you want to have some more resources around that, I also have my Spa Life Guide to support you in that. That is a free resource at dianehoffman.com/guide. For you. And Carrie Ann, thank you so much for sharing your journey and all the different nuances and aspects of it. This really helps, you know, our audience are here to do big things. And congratulations again in all of your accomplishments.
Thank you so much. I love the conversation.
Oh, perfect. All right, listeners, until we connect again, live your spa life. Bye for now.
Your host and Spa Life curator, Diane Halfman, wants you to know you can download her free guide to start living your spa life right now. Go to dianehalfman.com and click on the link for the 9 secrets to step into your spa life. Now, live your spa life where accomplishment and harmony coexist.
You know what drives me crazy? When business owners believe that just because they're not on stage speaking, they don't need stage presence. Stages come in all shapes and sizes. You're on the stage when you're in a boardroom, talking to a prospect, or introducing yourself and your company. I invite you to join me on a free educational webinar called How to Triple Your Income Through Speaking. Learn the critical ingredients to make impact and income on any type of stage. Go to speakersuccessformula.com and grab your spot now.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. Are you ready to rise up and share all your greatness to the world? Stop playing small and settling for mediocrity? If so, then you need to join us at our eWomen Network Entrepreneur Conference and Business Expo in Dallas this year, August 3rd through the 5th. There will be hundreds of women entrepreneurs from all over the world waiting to meet you, to share knowledge, wisdom, and even partnerships. Get ready to be coached by me and learn from other multi-million dollar speakers who will teach, inspire, motivate, and guide you to transform your thinking from small to big. And you can't beat the food and fun at our Saturday night dance party either. Look, no one makes it alone, so it's time to stop trying to be the COE, chief of everything, and step into your role as CEO. There is nothing like the eWomen Network Conference to bring out your genius and help you take action on living your dream. Register at eWomenNetwork.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.